Greetings and welcome to Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, coming to you live from the Way Station in picturesque Prospect Heights, Brooklyn. Give yourselves a round of applause, please. Lots to unpack. We are basically tackling the entire Alien franchise.
Damn.
In 20 minutes. Just kidding. But yeah, the entire Alien franchise, that is the focus of episode 25, aptly named...
Take my $15, you bitch!
That's right, take my $15, you bitch! We named it such because what ends up happening is, what, even though we don't understand everything that happens in these movies, we realize a lot of things happen just for the sake of people getting killed and the movie being 2 hours long. We still go to the theater, we still shell out the 15 bucks, and we, try to make sense of our lives afterward. Now.
Existential questions and shit after the movie.
Oh my God, yes. Like, what have I done with my life? All right.
What is the meaning?
So real quick, this is Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, and of course, I am Stephen Van Patten, and as always, I am joined by...
Mark Abbott.
And...
Kirk Johnson.
And... the lovely, vivacious woman at the end of the table is here, because she is... an expert in aliens, in alien lore. She is an expert. That's right. She literally has a chest bursting with information.
I do.
Brooklyn resident.
Thank you. I'm here all week. Well, actually, Mark is here all week, but that's yes. Tara Lopez, ladies and gentlemen, give her a hand. All right.
Thank you,
Tara. I'm going to jump right into it with you.
Okay.
When did you discover the series, and what made you, what drew you to all of this?
So, I discovered this when I was, like, 7 or 8, because my father thought it would be a great idea to show me this movie. So, one day he sat me down and was like, I have rented the greatest movie, and I want to show you. And he put on the VHS of Alien. And I fell in love
with it. The original 1979 thing that we just watched.
Yes. Wow.
Okay.
Yes, and I fell in love with it because... it was the first time I'd seen a female protagonist, and she was kick-ass, and the alien monster was just this creature that I was like, wait, no one knows what it is, it has acid for blood, what? And it was just so imaginative and so dark, and just, I loved it. And I've been with it ever since.
The good, the bad, and the
unfortunately
nonsensical.
More bad than good, sadly, but yes, I've stuck with it, I'm faithful.
Nothing wrong with that. Like, kind of like being a Knicks fan.
You know what? I was thinking it.
Wow.
And I used to be. But that one I left.
No nice. Chills. No chills, Steve.
Look, so, Mark.
Yes.
Well, we just finished watching Alien, the director's cut of the original 1979 feature directed by Ridley Scott. What's your takeaway having sat here and with 2017 eyes, having watched a science fiction movie from 1979, what's your takeaway from that?
The film is held up extremely well. I think it's more appreciative when it's on a bigger screen because
right.
it's got a more claustrophobic atmosphere. I just enjoy the director's cut because it answered so many questions as a child. Just as a standalone movie, there were things like when Dallas disappeared, I spent half my childhood wondering whatever happened to Dallas. Nobody ever could seem to know what happened to Dallas.
Right.
Yes. I still blame the cat for all of the problems that happened.
Jonesy.
I like cats, but damn it, man. I mean,
Jones, yeah.
I mean, they had that little thing throughout the whole movie. There's that Purina. Somebody should have brought some cat chow or something and put it out for this thing.
The cat.
But I still love this film. I mean, even the chest bursting scene. Mm. Even after all these years, that's still disturbing to watch. It
Absolutely.
Doesn't. You always flinch when you see. No matter even in the room that we had today, where everybody was cracking jokes, there's that one moment where everybody was just quiet after. That thing ran down the table, and then we all went into the hello, my baby. portion that we all know from Spaceball. But
and that was pretty much everybody. That was like church. You know, it was like that one verse everybody knows.
Yeah.
You're at Easter. You haven't been in church in 2 years. Oh, I know this part.
Yeah, but it's still a great film. I still consider it one of Scott's best original pieces. I can't say much for Prometheus. And,
wow.
All right, we'll get to Prometheus.
Yeah, oh,
we'll get to Prometheus.
Yeah. There's time.
Wow. People got feelings in here.
The franchise, of course, after 79 and everybody kind of, I guess, got over all of that. And then, of course, James Cameron gave us Aliens.
Yes.
Which was clever, as not use the number 2 and just put an S at the end instead. It's like, I know what I'll do. Everybody will love this. Arguably, that's a great fucking movie.
Oh, yeah. One of the best sequels ever.
Yes. Best, exactly.
Possibly better than the original. Debatable. I don't know. I kind of see it on par with it. I don't know.
Yeah. I will say the second one definitely has a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Because with the Marines and everything.
It's two totally different movies, really.
Yeah, I mean, that was an action movie.
They were two totally different genres.
Yeah.
That they played with, so that was
just great.
And one thing I think the second movie was very successful at was that it made us care about the Marines really fast.
Right.
Yeah.
You actually knew their names.
Yes.
You knew a little bit about them. You knew their personalities.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's difficult. That's a big cast.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. And especially back then, it's actually not exactly unheard of, but definitely a big cast.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
He took the lesson. He got the right lesson from, really, from the prison.
Right.
Yeah.
Which actually, you know, like in a horror movie, you introduce the characters. Because you have to make them feel, you know, you have to make the viewers feel something for the people who are about to get it at the end.
Right.
And if you don't feel anything for the characters getting it, you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
There
has to be stakes. You have to have an emotional connection.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which they fucked up with in Covenant.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So.
That's
Mark,
my no chill moment.
Oh, I'm sure there will be more.
Okay.
Mark. Alien 3, so Ripley escapes only to land up in a lice-infested penal planet.
Right.
You said a penal planet?
I said penal planet,
that's
as opposed to penile implant. Yes, I said penal planet.
There's a theme running on this. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Penal planet.
Hey, sometimes a banana is just a banana. But, Alien 3,
mm-hmm.
So... critically got beat the shit out of when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Then a director's cut was released.
Yeah.
And Mark, what were your thoughts of the director's cut?
Farly more impressive film than what Hollywood handed us. Here's my thing about director's cuts. I understand the bottom line in Hollywood. I understand the key here is to make money. But a story draws people to the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Alien 3 director's cut literally has scenes in there that were completely reshot. The Alien in the 93 version, in the 97 version, sorry, when it came out, the Alien was in a dog. This, the director's cut, it comes out of an ox. There's a lot more Charles Dutton. A lot more explanation as to the fact that this is not just a penal colony, but it is a colony of men who have resigned themselves to their faith, who become more like a monastery than anything else.
Oh, wait, penal monastery?
You know what? We're not doing this.
I was just asking. A penal monastery. Most monasteries are penal anyway, right? Just by monastery.
Do this to me.
I'm just asking a question.
I'm just saying. We're not doing this.
I'm sorry.
I know, but it's Kurt. There's always an underlining with him.
There's a line across.
A penal monastery.
Not a penile monastery.
Right.
So it's not redundant.
No.
Say penal monastery.
No.
It's not. Got it. Understood.
Okay. So anyway. And then especially the way the movie ends, because In the theatrical version, we have the chest burster bursting out of Ripley as she falls into the fire. But in this one, she falls in and the creature never emerges, which is a lot more symbolic to the sacrifice that Ripley finally decides to make with her life, that rather than just doing this to kill the creature, which is what it ultimately felt like. The one thing I can say that I was so happy to see was that the creature was not blown out of an airlock. Because it seems that's the only way to kill this thing.
Well, apparently in a penile monastery, they don't have airlocks.
They don't have airlocks in a penile monastery.
Those cycles work really well, too.
Yes.
They had lava.
Yes. Lots of
lead.
Lava.
Lead.
Molten lead.
Yes.
Molten lead.
Yes.
That did shit to it.
When all else fails, molten lead. Kirk.
Yo.
Penal monastery.
What? Yes.
So, after all of that, great acting job by Charles Dutton and bad. Oh, and you know what? I should note that despite the bad press that Alien 3 got, David Fincher did eventually get to prove that he does know how to direct a film, because
yes,
he actually did, among other things, Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And he's actually, just for all of the zombie enthusiasts in the room, he's actually slated to direct the sequel of World War Z.
Yeah.
Mm. So.
Somebody didn't like that. There was a groan in the back of the room.
Well, I don't know. That could just be because they didn't like the original movie.
He might bring something new to it.
It
was
like a book.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. He might fix it.
So.
The thing about World War Z, those motherfuckers is fast. Those zombies are very fast. I'm just like, you know what? I don't care anymore. I'm dying. I'm just gonna shoot myself because I can't outrun them.
I haven't been keeping up with my cardio. I guess that's not.
I'm saying I'm like two and change. I ain't outrunning none of these motherfuckers.
Exactly.
They're crawling
they're
on
like
top
ants.
Of each other. Yeah. You saw that.
They like make bridges out of zombies and then cross them.
They did that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Back to the original franchise here.
Wrong monster.
Forgive us. Tangent. All right. Kirk.
Yes.
Aliens Resurrection was the next movie in the franchise.
Ron Perlman.
I'm
going to
let you.
Garrett Gurney. That's all I got out of it. Winona Ryder.
Oh,
it was an all-star-studded cast of magnificence from people I don't care about anymore. Resurrection. I don't know how to.
Walmart.
Thank you for reminding me. That was the one takeaway. Was Walmart. Realizing that Weyland
Yutani
is no longer the evil corporate organization they were taking over by Walmart.
Yep.
Just let that sit for you for a minute.
That'd be bad.
So through the entire Aliens franchise, right? It's corporate Weyland Yutani, and
they were red herrings.
They were in competition with Walmart. They needed to go after the alien because Walmart was kicking their ass in every turn. Back scratchers, Walmart got a lot on that. Yo, Purina, you mainly starting. No, Walmart already got that shit locked down.
That's why the tech went down so bad in Alien versus Prometheus.
Exactly. We have no lights on our ships.
Yeah,
why?
It's because
Walmart.
Yeah.
They have all the LEDs. They literally have all the LED stickers. You can't get nothing. I'm sorry, you say it, Mark. Yes. The question. Resurrection.
Yes.
Out of airlock again, right? With a giant, ugly...
That was the baby alien.
The baby human.
Wait, that was airlock. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was another airlock.
Air was used, but
right.
Yeah, it was a hole in
a
window.
It was a human alien hybrid, I guess.
Yeah.
That missing a nose
beautiful butterfly.
That was horrible. That was disgusting.
The hybrid alien Ripley was kind of cool, though.
Yes.
She was pretty cool. Her outfit was cool. That was my one takeaway from it.
Yeah, no, it was, you know what? I was glad I didn't have to pay to see it.
Yes.
I had a lot of fun watching it. If I paid $15 to see it, once again, Geiger's in a bag. Angry Geiger's in a bag.
Yeah. That's Giga's in a bag.
Giga's in a bag, yes.
Giga's in a bag.
Giga's in a bag. Yeah, my name is Steven. Thank you. Yes.
Yes.
Giga's
that's what I'm here for.
20 Giga's in a bag. Yes.
All right. And right out of that, so right after Alien Resurrection and the critical slamming that that movie got, then we got introduced to something that up until this happened, you only saw it in the comics. And that was Aliens vs. Predator and Aliens vs. Predator Requiem. Or as some people would rather call them, two regrettable mistakes. But it's like, for me, both of those movies did have, well, I take that back. One of them had flashes of brilliance. The other one, Requiem, had so many problems. None outside of the fact that, first of all, the movie's too fucking dark. Like, you can't even see the fight scenes.
There are no lights.
Yeah.
Like, I was literally at home, like, toying with the settings and the TV. Like, son, I can't. Is this fight choreography? Like, what's going on? And
Walmart.
And who? And while I appreciate New York and Los Angeles not being attacked, rural
right.
Seattle? Really? Who the fuck does that?
It's time!
They were overdue.
I mean, they gave us really good coffee.
Yes.
You know? But.
And vampires that sparkle.
And vampires.
Oh,
yeah, you know what?
Wow.
Fuck Seattle. You know what? Fuck Seattle.
That was low.
You're right.
That was low.
Fuck them.
Let's do it.
Fuck them. Yes. Any thoughts on Aliens versus Predator? Taryn, you obviously went to see these movies.
Yeah,
you're the
like
expert. You're the
that's
expert.
Like
oh,
I hate those movies.
You hate it
so much. Like so much. The
oh my god.
Yeah. I hate it.
Like okay, all right. You hated those, but now I got to back up.
Okay.
Did you like Predator?
Yes.
Did you like Predator 2?
I'm iffy about it.
All right. I mean, I'm just happy Danny Glover lives, but all right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, sorry. Brown folks got to take their wins where they can take them, you know? But all right.
Yeah.
So you're okay with Predator.
I'm new to Predators. I'm not okay with those two movies that came out.
So those are not two great tastes that taste great together.
You know what? AVP, I was slightly okay with AVP because I thought it was interesting that we got to see a little bit of the Predator homeworld at the beginning of it.
Right.
Okay.
I thought that was a cool glimpse.
Yeah.
Little bit, yes.
You know, I was excited to see more of that because I thought like the franchise would eventually expand so that we would actually see Predator fleshed out into like its own world and everything.
Yeah, right.
That never happened. And we got AVP 2 that. Sorry.
No,
yeah.
Say why.
Yeah, why? Why? It was just so bad. The Predalien, oh my god. That was an abomination onto the franchise.
Yeah, I want to say that's an idea that happens after a couple of bong hits.
Yeah, really?
It's like,
someone just
dude,
decided, you know, let's
wouldn't
it
be
it.
Cool? If, like, you had a Predator and an Alien, and they face-hugged the Predator, dude.
You
like,
sound like
yeah.
Without a job.
Well, that would be the idea. That somebody didn't have a job, and they sat up, and they said, hey, dude, let's do this.
And now they're not.
Someone funded that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the one good thing about those movies is that it's just fodder to see people just be killed in really interesting ways.
Mm.
Absolutely.
So for that part of it was entertaining, but yeah, I look for a little bit more in my Alien movies, and I was disappointed by those two.
Requiem is a hot mess.
Yes.
That is true.
Yes.
One thing that stuck in my mind for that is like, first of all, you've got an infestation. Why would you send just one Predator?
Yeah.
That's
me
literally.
As an Aliens fan,
right.
It made it look like the aliens are so weak that just one Predator could just take them all out. And I was like,
no,
that should not be the way it is.
Yeah.
They should send at least like a little troop, a little, you know, little five guy squad, you know?
Right.
I'd be okay with that.
Like a Nostromo.
Yes! Yes, a Predator Nostromo.
That
would have
been
awesome.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been
awesome. I would have totally went along with that. And then
that and some lighting would have been great.
Take all the humans out of that movie. If you just make it Alien versus Predator, and you do, like, there's no dialogue. Let it just be like straight fighting choreo of the two species going head to head. I would have been down with that.
Nice.
But then you have all these people that are just, they're just death fodder, and they're just like, there's no plot to them. They're just there to die, and they just get in the way of an actual cool story.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, the thing about that first AVP, which I couldn't wrap my head around, was like, first of all, where did y'all find a queen? And how did y'all jump her enough to drag
her
and shackle her to earth?
Right, right.
Because that,
ice
that thing
that
gave hell to the Marines.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so it had to be about four or five of you that grabbed her.
Maybe it was two guys. I mean, if one guy could take out all the aliens, maybe you do.
But I mean, and then we tried to start the whole Aztec thing, and and the creature was being used as a god, and it just seemed like
it was too much.
A lot of extra.
And then we got Predators, which completely just went a completely different route. That,
oh wait, with that dude with the nose,
Adrian Brody.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, the guy that face hugged Halle Berry.
That's that guy. I'm sorry, still one of the worst casting. I mean, I'd still take Danny Glover over Adrian Brody.
What?
I'm sorry.
At least Adrian Brody got jacked
for that
role.
Stop. Danny Glover did something that, look, they, you know what?
Thank you.
I felt the same. No, I like Danny. Danny Glover.
Listen, there's a point when, look,
you go do right by me.
The funny thing is, Danny never actually went toe to toe with him.
He needed to live by his own rule. He was too old for that shit.
Yeah. And you know what? Just because you're old don't mean you can't throw hands.
I didn't say he couldn't throw hands, but it was just kind of ridiculous.
He wasn't going at him. Not like Adrian Brody was, you know, toe-to-toe with an axe, almost chopped off his nose and shit. You know, tripped up, got all muddy and stuff like
Adrian
that.
Adrian Brody do to you?
He got me, look. I'm sorry. Look, when he started doing the Batman, you know, I worked with the Marines.
Oh, Jesus.
When he started doing that shit, I was done. And then Danny Trejo was in it, and he ain't getting no daps. Fuck that. Danny Trejo was like, he's like the original Chuck Norris and shit. All right? Fuck that. Yeah, see? He should have got more.
He should have.
Yeah, a little more screen time for Danny would have been nice.
Yeah. And Cottonmouth was in it, the dude from Cottonmouth. The dude from
you know what? I would take, I'll take a step back. I'll take Lawrence Fishburne's role in that film over Danny Glover.
Agreed.
All right, agreed.
Wow, okay.
I'll give that. All right. I'll buy that.
Okay, so now that we've ripped that to pieces. Let's get current and talk about something that we watched earlier today, those of us that came in super early. We screened Prometheus. Taren.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in this particular solar system that are super perplexed by Prometheus. So.
Okay.
Break it down.
Please.
I mean... Are there any specific questions, or am I just breaking down?
Well, I think what happened...
questions from the audience.
I mean, right from the beginning, there's this alien watching the ship take off, and he essentially commits suicide in one of the gassiest ways I've ever seen.
Yes.
Why does he do that? Is there any clue?
Okay, so the prevalent theory for that is that...
The question...
Oh, yeah, probably because...
So basically the question is, what was the deal with the alien in the first scene of Prometheus where he commits suicide by drinking the black goo? So essentially, the prevalent theory is that that was the seeding of Earth, that these beings used to at least go around the planets, and at least one of them would do it like a ritual suicide using the black goo, break down its body, and it fell into the water where I guess it, you know, the molecules of its broken down body fused and created new life. So that's basically how we got life on planet Earth, or at least it's theorized as Earth. We don't actually get any confirmation what planet it is But by just the cut sequences, it's kind of hinted at that's Earth, but it could be any planet. But that's as far as we know about them, because they kind of seem like totally different engineers from the people that we see later on in the movie. Because if you notice in the first scene, their ship is like this really oblong oval, and that is not the ship that we see later on. It's the U-shaped ship. What? Right. It might be warships. I mean, we don't actually know. We're not sure about these people.
So we're thinking the horseshoe-shaped ships are warships.
They might be warships. It might be ships from another branch of them, because like the whole dress and everything of those engineers later on, they're very like black leather versus the very Jedi-looking guys in the first scene.
Right.
So it's kind
right.
of like it looks like two different factions of these engineers.
Sure.
So those might be the bad guys, and the guys at the beginning might be like the good engineers that are like spreading love and light. So we don't know.
Like Republicans and Democrats?
If you want to take it there.
The Republicans have the black
dark.
Blue, and the Democrats just want to see the planets. Go ahead.
He can make that joke. We're not in Texas. I mean,
just
want
to see the planets.
So it's a purposeful ritual suicide.
Yes, to bring life.
To bring life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't tricked. It wasn't Bill Cosby. So I have a drink for you to try. I hope you like it. Sorry.
There's actually a deleted scene that shows that he's not alone on the planet. There's actually a bunch of other rogued Jedi-looking engineer dudes behind him that are, like, basically watching him do this. So it seems like it's a very ritualistic thing. I don't know why they cut it out. I guess the movie's too long already. Didn't really add much.
No, it was too long.
It definitely looks like a ritualistic thing.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's the first 3 minutes of the movie.
Yep.
So now we take what looks to be a bunch of grossly underqualified people to go into outer space.
Meanwhile, they're scientists.
Supposedly. Yeah, let's keep it real. They're scientists, like Mark Wahlberg is a scientist.
Wow, yeah.
When he's in Planet of the Apes.
Right,
okay?
Yeah,
seriously.
Yes. We don't know what's happening.
Wait. It's whales.
We know science wasn't completely destroyed. We weren't thinking that when that movie was made, because Trump hadn't been elected yet. Unless Ridley Scott knows something that the rest of us don't.
So much for my family.
There we go. All right. Now we're going out into outer space at the behest of old man Waylon,
yep.
who has clearly fucked his daughter up. There's all that little drama. And then she gets back at daddy by sleeping with Idris Elba.
String of bells, not a string.
You killed Mark.
Only string the bell to do that shit.
Omar coming, y'all.
Why
but,
are the aliens running? Omar.
I don't know. Let's go that way and find out. All right. So this is clearly not the same infestation that Ripley apparently encounters in... What year would you say that is? If we're going to go chronologically speaking.
I should know this by heart. It's 21 something? It's 21, 22? Okay.
Give or take.
Okay, there you go. I knew it was 21 something.
21 something.
So it's like 21, 22. Let's go along with that.
Okay. Thank you, audience member.
So yeah, this takes place about 100 years before Aliens happens.
Okay.
So these are not the same creatures.
It's not the same planet.
Those creatures don't exist yet. That planet hasn't been found yet. So.
Got it. Okay. So that's Prometheus. Right. So Prometheus ends rather open-endedly with this Dr. Shaw deciding that instead of going the fuck home, like any sensible person would do after all of that, she decides she's going to go confront a bunch of giant translucent guys and ask answers for why the fuck they're spreading black goo all over the universe. Which then leads us to the very recently released Alien Covenant.
We're seeing that. We're seeing that.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Wait, you have
to now.
You haven't seen it yet?
No. What, no.
Now.
Okay.
Because
we're
going to
spoil it.
It might be some spoilers.
Yeah.
I read most of the spoilers.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
So I have an idea.
So here's the thing about Covenant.
just one? Just the thing?
I'm trying to land the plane here.
sorry.
Now, the Covenant crew does a very similar sort of, hey, we're going one place and now we're not. That safe to say that's kind of how we set this up. And then they purposely seem to do something that is so fucking stupid, yet if they don't do it, the movie might have, for all intents and purposes, been 10 minutes long. They actually decide that they are going to just right out of the gate go down, and instead of having on spacesuits and protective gear of any sort, they all basically look like they just walked out of Banana Republic. So, naturally, shit jumps off.
Yes.
People get infected.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly. And hilarity ensues from there.
nice.
So, Taryn, how did you feel walking out of the theater? And please.
Okay, so I didn't know what to expect walking in because I was disappointed by Prometheus, even though I saw the kernels of some really good story and some really good mythology, so I was excited to hear more about the engineers and to finally see their planet. I was with Shaw. I was curious with her. I wanted to meet our makers. I was totally with her on that one.
Mm.
So then Covenant happens, and I was very bitterly disappointed. I am angry at Ridley Scott at this point.
Wow.
I am angry at him because
Watch it feels like
everything that I actually found good about Prometheus, and there's not that much, but I did manage to find some. Everything that I found redeeming about Prometheus, he basically just did away with in just in a violent, violent way. It was a wonderful scene, but that destruction of the planet just kind of messed with me. And the fact that we never really learned anything more about the engineers or anything, it bothered me. I wasn't happy about Covenant.
Oh.
So to that point, I do know that...
Question.
You've already made the spoiler point. So are you saying that they went out in space and they destroyed the planet?
Yeah.
Well, not they, it wasn't a they.
It wasn't a they. It was one particular person.
So the question was who was responsible for the destruction of the engineers, which is. And then the interesting thing, as that goes, is apparently Ridley Scott is planning Alien Awakening, which is supposed to be after Prometheus, but before Covenant.
What?
Wait, what? I thought it was supposed to be a sequel to Covenant.
Wait. What?
Okay.
Unless I read that wrong.
You know what?
Which is altogether possible.
I heard like three different stories about what the next Alien movie is supposed to be. One thing said that it was supposed to be a sequel to Alien. Basically, like saying, you know, kind of pushing aliens to the side.
Mm-hmm.
One thing said that it was going to be a sequel directly to Covenant. This is going to be the third idea, so I don't even know what to believe at this point. Yeah, right? Right, he's already done away like Prometheus and then Covenant. It's like two strikes, dude. We only have third one. Let's just stop.
And Egypt.
Let's
so
just
Egypt.
Stop.
This is not that shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Egypt.
Totally.
And Robin Hood. And Robin Hood.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I mean, I'll say this. Whatever George Lucas drank, Ridley Scott seems to be drinking from the same fountain.
Oh, shit.
Because he has
I have a nice drink for you here. Here you go, Ridley.
Because it just seems here's the thing that I took away. It felt like Covenant was a short story in a book of short stories about the alien universe.
Yes.
without him stepping on the toes of what he has already done, knowing that if he steps on anything with Ripley, he can technically, he could do that because that was his first, he's the one that is in the film world establishes Ripley, so he can do whatever he wants.
Right.
But at the same time, it seemed like whatever was going on behind the scenes with Prometheus, it seemed like he was so bitter about what he had to do with Prometheus that he tried to find a way to get rid of whatever footprint he made quickly in Covenant and just keep it moving. So, like Taryn, you know, I felt cheated because I'm thinking, okay, so we're going to get a little bit more insight on what's actually going on with these people. And basically, it's like, nah, you know what? I don't want to talk about those people. In fact, I'm going to kill them all. And we're just going to keep it moving over here. And you take away whatever it is that you want to take away from it.
Yeah, so. I guess he really kind of, in a way, the movie is a big middle finger.
It is.
Yeah.
To Prometheus, to the concept of an alien queen. We were talking about that earlier.
Right. Which I find that actually interesting. I actually like that idea.
And of course, he certainly is a big middle finger to the aliens versus Predator stuff.
Yes. Oh, that whole
Which people are either okay with, right? People apparently are okay with that for the most part, I guess.
What's middle finger? I mean, spoiler.
Lance Henriksen isn't Waylon anymore.
No,
it's Guy Pearce.
Yeah,
and because of they set it up so that. Yeah, I guess spoiler. They set it up so that David is the man who creates the alien.
He bioengineers them. He's basically just hanging out on his dead planet, just using whatever biological life that he can find and just working them over and over and over again until he creates.
Right. So the aliens aren't even like 100 million years old like we thought from Alien vs. Predator. They're futuristic, recent.
Though,
100 years? What, 100 years in between?
Maybe.
About 100 years. Right, but they haven't been to Earth. They haven't been to Earth.
Though I'm still holding out hope because the aliens that we see in Covenant are not the alien from Alien 1. It is not the same looking alien.
He
definitely created the thing that's probably going to lead to the alien that we know and love. But I still don't consider David being the person that, like, he created the alien. He created the thing that's going to evolve into it. So I'm still not giving him the "you're the father of the alien" title yet.
No, Murray.
What?
You are the father.
No. Kane's the father. He's the only dad in the series.
Nice. Question up front.
So sorry, long question. I think I kind of told this outside earlier, was the fact that when looking at Lucas may or may not have had a prequel in mind whenever he was making Star Wars. He may have read some notes and went, maybe never, I might get back to this later. How do you feel with Ridley Scott taking the reins on something that was actually only supposed to be one movie? It was written by one person, one time. Granted, was made by many different people over many years, many different variations. So now we're doing prequel to something that was always supposed to be one. Feelings.
You want to repeat that?
I can jump on that.
Go, please.
Go ahead.
Should I repeat the question?
Yes.
Okay, so essentially... Essentially, the question was, in the same way that George Lucas created, you know, whether or not he had the plans for the prequel movies for Star Wars, he eventually did create those prequels. In that same kind of similar vein, Ridley Scott is now making prequels to a movie that, you know, Alien, that was just supposed to be a standalone film, and how do we feel about, you know, the prequels and him doing that? And for me, I think I love the idea that he's doing it, just because after, you know, we just watched Alien, and... When we find the space jockey, there's like so much intrigue around that scene. That whole like scene, like people that, you know, we're exploring with the crew. Like we don't know what the hell we're looking at. This thing has its rib cages blown out. It's huge. And the way that when we finally do leave it, there's this like lingering look on the face of the space jockey as the light is fading. So we just kind of like have this lingering like, what is that question? So I kind of feel like he always planned to do something with that. So when I heard about Prometheus, I was really excited because it was like, oh my God, that finally makes sense why he gave that lingering look to kind of be like, ah, don't forget this guy. You know? So I really like the fact that he did that just because it feels like there was a foreshadowing to it. It doesn't feel like he just kind of brought it out of his ass, you know?
I don't mind. I don't mind that he's going back and doing these prequels and stuff. You know, it gives us something to talk about and digest and actually even fodder for our own ideas and stories and, you know, imagination just to play with. I mean, yes, we have a problem with the execution.
Yes.
Right. But still in all, you know, the man has an idea about doing some extra crazy shit that only was supposed to be one movie. Go ahead and do it, because we got some great stuff. We got Aliens out of that, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
We got Alien 3, which not everybody liked, but we got we got the director's cut of Alien 3, which was better, right?
Mm-hmm. It worked.
We got
yeah.
Penal Monastery. we got Resurrection, where Ripley becomes like the badass. That
Super
was
Ripley.
So
yeah.
Thanos Ripley. Right?
Nice.
Or Betty at Captain Ripley.
There we go.
I would say more like Venom Ripley.
Or Venom Ripley.
Ripley. I like that.
Or Electro Ripley, yeah.
Yes.
You know, we got
so
we got a lot of things out of that.
Bane Ripley.
Like,
that, there you go. Bane Ripley.
Nice, Bane Ripley.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
It'll be bad, but fun for you.
Yeah. So I don't mind. I actually don't really mind the idea that, you know, these guys are doing prequels with their own intellectual properties. Right, it's theirs. If they want to do what they can do with it, go ahead. That just, you know, gives me reasons to be happy and be angry and sad.
You know, over the years, a lot of people had asked Ridley Scott why he hadn't gone back to the Alien franchise. And I think once we had gotten to Resurrection, I kind of got this feeling that it was one of those things where he was sitting at home with a beer, and he was watching this, and he's like, all right, that's the end of this shit. I can't take this anymore. And got up and decided, you know what? I have a story that I want to tell, and I'm getting tired of seeing, because the question that had been posed to him was, would he do a film with the aliens coming to Earth? And he said no. He goes, that's a tired idea that's been done 1,000 times in different kinds of science fiction. If I were to ever do anything about the series, I would do something before. So I think that there might have been notes, there might have been things that he shared with Dan O'Bannon and Walter Hill when they sat down to flesh this whole thing out. And maybe it was just left on the table. And, you know, after seeing the evolution, the promise of this, I think Ridley has always been this kind of atmospheric storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for him, he wanted to get back to that. He wanted to get back to like the mystery of what everything was, and just a clean origin story. Now, like you said, how it's being executed is another story.
Right.
I think in a few months we'll get a director's cut of Covenant, and we'll see all the stuff that we've been wondering why it wasn't in the film.
You mean like character development, or
you know what? To be perfectly honest, I do think that he has something in his pocket with character development, because he's always. I mean, I don't want to interrupt. No, because right after you said that, the first thing popped in my head was this new Blade Runner film. So
he's just producing it.
I know he's just producing
it's okay.
But.
It's not okay.
Some producers can put their foot in it when they want to.
Mm-hmm. Is the next Blade Runner going to be okay? You think?
I have faith. Right?
No.
I thought I heard you. Okay, never mind.
He executive produced
yeah.
it or something right. like that. But you know, I know that. I know, just off on a tangent. I know that Robert Rodriguez. When he got involved with Predators, the director literally, he said that there was a day where he finally went to Robert, because Robert kept showing up to set, directing the film.
Mm.
And so he finally told him, either you get the fuck off my set, or I go home. But you cannot be here, because you hired me to do a job. Mm-hmm. And Robert finally left. So that's why I said sometimes a producer, because that was his own job. He was supposed to be there producing, and
mm-hmm.
he's there trying to tell the director how to do his job. I don't think Ridley's that kind of person.
No.
But I don't know how much say he may have had,
in the narrative flow, or how
and maybe in post when they get there.
Well, how much Ridley would have had?
He probably has more post than
more.
I would imagine a director with that kind of clout, he pretty much whatever. I would think.
You would hope. Well, no, maybe you wouldn't hope.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
Who to blame yet?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
True. Good.
God damn it, Ridley! Come on. Gave us the duelist.
I don't know.
Man? What happened?
Like I think what everybody else has kind of touched on, with all of these movies, there's always like a flash of brilliance. There's always that one little thing that's like, oh, that's cool. Like with Prometheus, for example. Once I saw the abortion scene in Prometheus, I was good for my $15. I was like, all right, I'm straight. I'll go get some popcorn now. You know, I'm good. I felt good. Right. I was mildly, it's like as far as the confusion of the narrative or whatever, I was like maybe a little bit there. But, once I saw that cut, zip, extract, and then the staple, I was like, that's money well spent. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm fine. I don't know what everybody else is feeling, but I'm all right. And all of these movies do have that. But like I said, they also have like the one little stupid thing that if it doesn't happen, it's kind of in Alien Covenant with the fucking Banana Republic crew. That was the one thing for that movie. Without that happening, without the getting in the ear and all that shit, you don't have anything. It's done. It's over.
The Walter and David fight.
Very well done.
That was fun. I like that fight.
Very well done. Exactly.
That was $150.
Although what he tried to allude to was insulting.
Well, I'm say.
Yeah.
Once again, the execution, right?
Not the execution.
Well, there is
the illusion.
Michael Fassbender, who plays multiple androids in this film, in Covenant. There's a point where we as the audience are supposed to be convinced that there's a mystery as to which android survives a certain fight. And it's pretty much 10 minutes of, are you fucking serious? And you guys are right. It's a little on the upsetting side because, again, we're supposed to be putting smart people into space. So how do you not understand that's not Michael Fassbender A and it's actually Michael Fassbender B? It's like, that was the main thing that really upset me, even more than the Banana Republic outfits.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But overall, it's like it gets back to the point of what I said earlier. Regardless of what happens, we're going to spend our $15 because this is what we do. This is something we all grew up with this.
Yes.
This fucking started in 79.
Yeah.
Okay, when we were probably sneaking into the theater. Well, you, of course, were traumatized by your father, but, the rest of us, it's a matter of sneaking into theater. Right, thanks, Dad. Mr. Lopez, shout out.
Actually, I told Taryn during the movie how I first saw the first Alien film, believe this or not, Viewmaster, when I was growing up, Viewmaster had these actual cinematic cartridges that you could they had the one with the film that you just click and it flips, but this one you put the actual film on the back of the machine and ran it and it ran. You had no sound.
Yeah.
So I watched the entire Alien movie in Toys R Us like this. I didn't hear anything.
That's great.
And I must have rewound the chest-busting scene about five or six times.
My man.
Although what I do find funny is that...
Meanwhile, the police are like looking for him.
Meanwhile, my parents can't find me. Nobody knows where I am. And I'm sitting, and then you can go to school. I could go to school the next day and say, yeah, I saw Alien. Well, what did you think about when so-and-so said that? Yeah, I saw Alien. Yeah. The movie. Mm-hmm.
You ain't see Alien, motherfucker. I saw it, I just didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it.
That is funny. Okay, so, I don't, you know, I regret that Covenant is not a better movie.
Yeah.
That does... It's upsetting.
It's an okay movie, though. I mean... Mm-hmm.
It's okay. No, it's
I'm
entertaining.
Happy, but it is entertaining.
It's entertaining. There's a couple of witty lines. It, you know... All
right. Yeah. I gotta be honest. I do like the idea of the mad scientist.
Okay.
That
yeah.
theme, that aspect of the... You know, it did change a lot of things in terms of Prometheus.
Oh, it sure did.
But the idea of that... You know, the mad scientist and how he loses his mind and why he does what he does. I did really like that.
Okay.
And the fact that, you know, yeah.
Well, the way the movie ends does kind of, it begs a question, at least for me. So, Aliens.
Yes.
Is 57 years after all of this, or more than 57.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't David have wiped out humanity by then?
Wow. Well, you know what? That's why there's going to be another movie.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay.
Obviously, something happened to David, the mad scientist.
Yeah.
Because it's a mad... Well, now it's a mad scientist movie. And in every mad scientist movie, the mad scientist never really makes it.
True.
Right?
True.
Whether it be
Point.
Frankenstein or, you know...
Mary Shelley did kind of... set those rules.
The mad scientist, by definition of being a mad scientist, makes bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an android, and he's fucking perfect.
No, he made a mistake in a quote that in between the Shelley quote and remember
Byron.
Yeah. Yeah, he made.
Oh, that's true.
Henceforth, he's becoming a little quirky.
Quirky. That's what we're going to call it. All right.
I think you already became quirky.
Mm. I was going to say motherfucker makes bad decisions, but mother ain't around.
I mean, honestly, I think he went quirky at the end of Prometheus. Like, I think getting his head literally knocked off really just messed him up.
It wasn't
and then Shaw puts him back together. I don't think she put him back together completely right. So he literally
clearly.
Has some screws loose.
So it wasn't him sneaking around, creeping through her dreams. That's
oh no, he's definitely a creepy stalker. But he wasn't mad scientist until
oh,
the
he was a mad scientist stalker.
Not until he got his head literally knocked off his shoulders. Yeah.
David, exactly when did you lose your motherfucking mind? That's basically what
yes.
we would.
Yes.
It's like if we got him on The View or something
yes.
like that, we could have Whoopi ask him. Right, exactly.
I mean, I would love to see if we do see. The end of David. I would just love for him to put on one of those ash smirks.
Oh.
When just that,
I would love somebody to find David at some point.
And
find the android David and just like put him back together and like, you know, have this discussion with him.
There'll be questions.
Smirky.
With the party on.
Yeah, sure, let's do that. Do we have any other questions from the audience, maybe? Possibly, could be. Drink orders are that way, of course.
Nobody wants to ask about the madness that is AVP.
Hey, what's the madness that is AVP?
Tara already answered that.
No, you can handle that.
Don't call it a callback.
We have one in the corner.
Yeah.
Sean.
Do you think that, really exploring the origins of the aliens will... Do you think it will have any kind of storytelling merit to it? Or would you just prefer them as kind of these, you know, dark existential terrors with no backstory?
Wow, good question.
Mm.
Good question.
Nice. Okay.
He gonna make us think.
Repeat it. Hit it, Mark.
I can't even repeat that.
Paraphrase, I guess. You're saying, do you think it's a good idea that we should explore and unravel the mystery that is the alien, as opposed to keeping it the existential enigma that it is now, right?
Wow.
Is that what? Okay.
Yeah. Nice, Kirk.
Good question.
That's why I like the.
Great.
I like the. Androids are shit.
Androids are the shit.
Mad android scientists are the shit.
Until they're actually fucking your shit up.
Like I said, I'm already going to be dead in World War Z, so.
That's right. That's right. You'd be done. Right.
Wow.
I don't know. I think because it's this species that doesn't even talk, it's like, what are we going to try to do? Are we going to try to do the same thing that Hollywood seems to want to do with the Mummy and Dracula and all that other stuff, and
right.
like give them like personality now? Like, is that what you know? It's like I wouldn't say that works for this jump for this particular franchise. And now that we've got the whole we've got the conflicting thing going, like almost like multiple universe, like we're on some CW shit with aliens and Predator over here, and then we got, you know, my man making the aliens over here, and then you got a queen, and then you don't have a queen, and then you got it's like
new Star Trek.
See, that's what this motherfucker needs. He needs Spock. He needs fucking Spock. Spock would be like turning ships around and like, we got to freeze. Yaphet Kotto and Spock. That team up,
wow.
That saves the day. Yaphet Kotto and Spock.
Cross 112 Street. What are you gonna say, Mark?
Okay, so I'm gonna kind of segue this into another franchise that I love to hate, which is Jeepers Creepers. Only because
I like that, lady.
Only because here's the thing. We don't know the origin of this creature.
Right.
We don't know why it does what it does.
Wait, we're talking about Jeepers Creepers?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And quite frankly, just the two films by themselves, I can live without knowing the core story. With Alien, I mean, I can go either way. I think sometimes the mystery is best left the mystery.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where you're just kind of like, these things exist for the sake of existing, or someone created them because it was a bioweapon or whatever, and it just went wrong.
And they hate us.
But the danger in going back into trying to define the sanity behind these creatures is what happens in Alien Resurrection.
Right.
When we start to now try to teach these things to do things,
right.
or to learn, because we want to be able to control them. And I think that the ideology of having a creature that it doesn't eat, it doesn't sleep, it's almost we don't even know what it's immune to.
Right.
We know it's, you know, fire will make it back off, but it doesn't necessarily make it run away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Liquid nitrogen will make it back off.
Aliens was a perfect example of that, because nothing that these Marines threw at these things kept them to going, okay, let's back up, let's regroup, let's rethink, and let's go back out there.
Like a horror.
Yes.
Hmm.
So I mean, I can live without knowing it's fun to go back and learn exactly where they came from, the origins, but sometimes an origin story is just not needed.
I think we had a question before we do that. I think we had a question up front.
Does race play into this at all? Like in our current very dynamic issues with race in our country and what is happening with Trump and with.
You mean as far as the Aliens franchise goes, or just Hollywood in general?
The very unfortunate issues that are happening with race in our country, do you think that race plays into this
Well, we had the talk. We had the question, but thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
The question was, do we think race is playing a part at all
in the construct of this?
I will say not so much race as a certain kind of elitism, because remember, the overall goal of capturing the aliens is to weaponize them for our purposes as a human race. Now, you know, for me personally, I never co-signed on the friendly alien movies ever,
right.
Like E.T. and all that other stuff. I mean, let's just keep it real. You know, Koreans don't get along with Filipinos. Jamaicans don't get along with people from Trinidad and, you know, and all this other stuff. You know, and rich white people seem fairly determined to kill us all. So aliens from outer space are just going to come down here with Raid and be like, fuck y'all. Shh.
Right.
And that's that. And hopefully not kill the trees.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like when there's a big monster after you, race kind of takes second, you know, it's
right. Exactly.
So much thinking about race as so much like humanity itself.
Unless you're Yaphet Kotto not being listened to while he's saying, hey, why don't you freeze it?
Why don't you freeze it?
It's like, Yaphet, I can't hear you over the systematic racism. I'm sorry. What did you say? What, huh?
How about my bonus, bitch?
Exactly. Yeah, I still can't hear you, Yaphet.
Can I make one note about the last question?
Please.
So in regards to the whole, like, should we continue talking about, like, the evolution and whatnot of the xenomorph, the one thing that I personally really love about the xenomorph is that because we know that it can change, it takes a little bit of whatever host it was inside of, it actually changes every single time that we meet it. So in the first movie, we literally had never met this thing. So we're, you know, we found that it has acid for blood. We find out that, you know, it has these different stages and, you know, chest burster, face hugger, blah, blah. In Aliens, we find out that there's a queen. We find out the hierarchy. We find out that they actually have some weird telepathy thing, like when the queen talks to the two, like, soldiers on the side. So we find out more stuff about the aliens.
Right.
And then Alien 3, we find out the most pivotal thing for me is that if it can go inside of an animal and it takes on animal qualities, if that's the case. So literally, like, if you put it into a different animal, it's going to become a different creature. So I feel like there's different ways to explore the alien without getting into, like, midichlorian level. Like, let's really, like, dig deep.
Wow. Shots fired.
Wow.
I feel like there is merit to still exploring the xenomorph, but we don't have to get into the nitty-gritty of, like, does it eat and does it sleep? Like, we can see, like, little other things, but there are other ways to explore the world. Plus, Prometheus was trying to explore the rest of the universe.
It was trying to.
We were getting away from the alien, and then people complained. And so we had to veer back to the damn alien. I want to see the rest of the universe, honestly.
Yeah.
I still want to get back to the Predator planet, to be honest.
Yes, take me back to the Predator planet. I would love to see those cities.
Yes.
Right.
I want to see David drop that goo on the Predator planet so that we can really see a battle happen.
Yes!
Because they would not take that shit stand, like, just saying that.
Well, clearly no. So, absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, probably. Depending on, yeah.
Maybe.
Depending,
but
depending.
Be an awesome 10 minutes.
Awesome.
And now,
wow!
All right. So, first of all, I would like to thank the Waystation for hosting us. It's an amazing place. / Mark Abbott's living room.
Thanks, Mark.
He even has a mug here with his name on it and everything. How much alcohol do you have to drink? Never mind. So real quick, I'm going to make an announcement. This is our 25th episode. About 25 of them, no, about 22 of them happened in my living room, which is why you weren't there. And the others, well, two here and one we did on the road. So, real quick, gentlemen, thank you, you know, for that.
You're welcome.
And congratulations.
Of course. Congratulations.
You some bad motherfuckers, and I love y'all.
This is awesome.
Yes.
All right, and along with that, just a quick announcement. Along with us being on Blog Talk, and you can access that through our Facebook page. It's right there at the bottom of the old banner there. Along with that, we also we have been on One Essence Radio, which is a one internet radio station.
Nice.
And we just got picked up by Dungeon Radio.
Woo!
So shout out to them.
Woo!
Shout out to them. They are an internet radio station that does horror, sci-fi, programming all year round, day and night, night
wow.
and day. So
really?
It's nice to join up with them, and we will be shouting them out further in the future. We picked up some listeners in the Netherlands, according to
Woo!
Our...
Yeah!
So,
Netherlands.
Yeah, so...
Wait, is that the wooden shoe place? And the windmills and wooden shoes? Is that them? Is that the Netherlands? Is that those guys? Okay. I wasn't sure. I just wanted to be sure. Shout out to the Netherlands.
All right. I may have to cut that part out of the show when I get home. But anyway, that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here, for participating, asking the wonderful questions.
Thank you, yes. Thank you, everybody.
Taryn Lopez. Big thank you to you. Our resident alienologist, ladies and gentlemen. I just made up a word.
Brooklyn guy is xenologist.
That's right.
Oh, you got a badge name.
You're a xenologist.
Xenologist.
The smart one, right.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
that's motherfucking shit.
That's going to do it for us. Mark, did you have one thing?
Anders. Anders. Thank you.
Yes,
Anders. Thank you for letting us host this year.
Good times. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Happy Memorial Day.
Woo!
And from your friendly neighborhood, Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, we bid you a fond good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are awesome.